mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for our meditation this morning is the gospel lesson that we read a moment ago. And our theme for this morning, really want you to look at this. Are you sure you know what you're asking? You are gathered here this morning because you are asking God for something. Are you sure you know what you are asking Him? I don't think so. In our text today, James and John had a question for our Lord. They put it just that way. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Not, if you've got a chance, Lord, would you do this? Or could you please, Lord, do this? No, they said, we want you to do this for us. Whatever we ask. That's the way we are. Lord, do this for me. Whatever it is, whatever I say, I want you to do it for me, all right? James and John said, here's what we want. We want us, one of us sit at your left hand and one of us sit at your right hand when you go into glory, okay? You know, in Matthew's gospel, the same story, Matthew included that their mother asked Jesus for the same thing first. Shalom. And what did Jesus say to them? He says, you do not know what you are asking. That's where I get it. Are you sure you know what you're asking? I don't think so, and neither does our Lord. I don't think you know what you're asking. James and John didn't have a clue. And they were first cousins of Jesus. Salome was Mary's sister. So what does it mean to ask this of Jesus? Let me sit at your right hand or let me sit at your left in your glory. You know what that means? I don't think you do. Because here's what you want. And I know this because it's what I want. It's also what James and John wanted. Matter of fact, it's what all the apostles wanted. They wanted, all of them wanted the same thing that you and I want. We want the power, we want the prestige, we want the stature, we want to shove our chests out. Whether we do it or not, maybe just in our minds we would hope that we would get that. I want to be first in line. I want to be the first to get the hot food. I want to be the first to get on that ride. I want to be the first to get what they're giving out. Isn't it odd that that's what we want, but yet when we come to church, we want what God is offering us here upon His altar, yet the back pews fill up first. I don't get it. We want the best. That's what Salome wanted for James and John. She just wanted the best. Her sons, James and John. She just wanted the best for them. Hey, and since, you know, we're cousins, Jesus. And hey, you chose us to be your disciples too, you know. Since we're right here together and everything, we want you to do whatever we ask. Our parents just wanted the best for us.
Did you ever feel that?
Maybe some don't. But that's what parents want. They want the best for their kids. I want the best for my children. We want the best for our kids. We want the best for our grandchildren. Maybe our best for our great-grandchildren. Or we want the best for ourselves. God wants the best for us. He wants us to be happy. Prophet Jeremiah wrote, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand and I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I took them out of slavery, and they broke the covenant. Though I was their husband, declares the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord." Did you hear what he said? He says, "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." The law of God is written on the hearts of every single person here. Every single one of us. Every single human being that has ever lived, that is living now, and that will live in the future, has the law of God written on their hearts. Because God is the creator of all things, He's written His law on your hearts. He's written the law on my heart. How can I say that? Because every single person knows right and wrong. Whether you choose to listen to that, whether you choose to obey Him, that's a whole other thing. But then Jeremiah finishes this little verse up with, "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And Jesus says the same thing. He says, "I will be with you always until the end of the age." Now, this thing that James and John asked of Jesus, this isn't the first time we've heard this from Holy Scripture. It's happened before. It happened earlier after the 12 disciples. They were all sitting together and they were all arguing. And they said, "Finally, we got to have a tiebreaker here. So, here comes our Lord. Lord, tell us, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Luke recorded it as like this: "A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And Jesus said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For whoever is greater, one who reclines a table or one who serves, is it not the one who reclines a table? But I am among you as the one who serves.'" In case you missed it, in today's gospel lesson from Mark, he said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Scripture interprets Scripture here. He said the same thing. He said the same thing when all 12 were arguing about who was the greatest. And now, James and John, they slip in here and they say, "Hey, Lord, listen here. We're your cousins. We're your disciples. We want you to do for us whatever we ask." But then in our gospel today from Mark, the other 10 heard James and John try to pull this fast one, and scripture says they became indignant. Why do you suppose they got indignant? Hey, wait a minute. I want that too. Are you sure you know what you're asking? By the way, James got what he wanted. He wanted to be first. James was the first of all the disciples to be martyred. The first one to die for his faith. He got what he wanted. He got to be first. How about that? John actually was the last one. John was the last to die. John, they tried to kill John and martyr him. They tried to pour boiling oil on him. But he survived. And he ended up living to the ripe old age and dying a natural death on the island of Patmos. So he didn't get what he wanted. He was last. What Jesus is saying in our gospel lesson today, and what he said to the 12 disciples long ago, was it is not your authority that will make you great, but your service to others that will make you great. There's no horror in the cross. For every Christian, it should be a sure and perfect sign that you are a child of God and God loves you. You see, to understand what you're asking of Jesus means that you're willing to take a big, large wooden cross. You lay it on the ground, okay? You lay this huge wooden tree in the shape of a cross. You lay it on the ground. Then you willingly walk up there and you lay down on that cross, okay? Then these guys, these big brutes of the army, the Roman army, they're going to come along with these big spikes, these big nails, and they're going to drive them through your hand, okay, both of your hands, outstretched like this, and then they're going to put both your feet together because they want to save money. They're going to cut down on the nails. They put your feet together and drive one big spike through both of your feet. And then they lift this cross up and plant it in the ground and you hang it. You don't bleed to death. That's not what happens. You don't bleed to death. You don't die of starvation. You suffocate. You die of suffocation. You can't get your breath. It's been proven that when you're hanging from the cross like this, you have to push up on your feet to rest your arms and your shoulders so that your muscles can relax so you can take a breath. You can't take a breath because you got a nail going through your feet. They knew how this works, see? So, all of this you're doing willingly, each of you. You want to do that. You want to take up your cross. Okay? Oh, by the way, you get no benefit from this. This is for somebody else. It's not for you. You get nothing from it. You get to die. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayer and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. That is from from Hebrews chapter 5, our epistle lesson today. You see, Jesus too, in his human flesh, went the route he learned through obedience to his Father about salvation. He lived the perfect life. He lived without sin. He lived a perfect life in the eyes of his Father, and he willingly took up his cross and he died. And on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures so that you and I could live forever and ever and ever. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace, that peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and all of our minds on the risen Christ Jesus.